Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update, an original podcast from Charles Schwab, provides an information-packed daily market recap in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast. I'm Tom Keene, along with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz. Join us each day for insight from the best in economics, geopolitics, finance, and investment. Subscribe to Bloomberg Surveillance On Demand on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts. And always on Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Terminal, and the Bloomberg Business App. We are so thrilled to bring you someone truly expert on the political economics and fabric of Europe. Holger Schmieding joins us, chief economist of Berenberg. Holger, I'm going to go to one brilliant sentence in your note. Thank you, France. Thank you, Spain. You made real clear the lift that provides comfort to institutions in Europe as France and Spain are leading the way away from recession. Does that have legs? Can it continue?
Yes, I do think it does have legs. What we are seeing is that Europe as a whole is not falling into a winter recession, but in what you could call a winter stagnation. Germany, most exposed to Russia, is having a contraction in its GDP, but some of the other countries, especially France and Spain, are making up for that. They are not as exposed to Russia as Germany and not as exposed to some downturn or weakness in global trade at the moment. And this is, of course, good news that the region, Europe, which really last year was the focus of all the bad news, war in Europe, energy shock, that Europe is now actually outperforming expectations.
Holger, do you think that in the ECB press conference, Madame Lagarde should push back on the market activity, perhaps more aggressively than Jay Powell did yesterday?
That is quite possible. After all, the ECB has de facto pre-announced they're going to do another 50 basis points in March. Thereafter, however, they will re-evaluate their approach. So that leaves the door wide open to going just up 25 basis points in May. And beyond that, we'll have to see. The press conference may provide some clues, but probably the ECB has not made up its mind yet on what happens after March. So Lagarde probably cannot give us clear guidance relative to the Fed. What is clear, the ECB, having started later, still has some more room to go to the upside than the Fed from where we are now.
Olga, sufficiently restrictive was this phrase that we heard a lot in December. Do you think we are now?
Well, my personal view is we are sufficiently restrictive, but I'm fairly certain this is not the ECB's majority view. So the majority on the council will want to go further, 50 basis points in March and at least 25 basis points in May, with the risk that they could do more. But as we have seen, for instance, in the January data on Eurozone inflation coming down sharply and more good news in the pipeline for March and April, it probably does not take the ECB to go much further to get inflation back better under control.
Oh, well, can I squeeze this in just quickly? What happened to German CPI this week? And how much can we actually read into the Eurozone CPI data?
Well, the Eurozone CPI data may be revised significantly because simply for Germany, there is a change in the methodology. And apparently the stats office was not ready and is not ready to apply that in time. The German data could be weird and raise the Eurozone first estimate somewhat.
What happened to German efficiency, Holger? What happened to that? Everyone looking down their noses
at
the UK.
Very good question. Hey? We probably have a shortage of qualified staff in many places, including some statistics office, possibly.
If that's all you can claim to.
Office meaning of parent. Hey, usually they're so efficient.
I know.
So, you're telling me the Germans weren't ready for a change in methodology?
Yeah, really? You're going to really put this out there, this battle between the UK and Germany with efficient?
Shocking. Ibrahim Ratbari joins us now, Chief Currency Strategist at Citi. Ibrahim, there's a meeting at the ECB at March 16th. They're telling us they're data dependent. At the same time, they tell us they're getting another 50. What do you make of this?
I actually think the March meeting is going to be really interesting for the ECB, and it was Chair Powell that made it that interesting. So when you look at the market reaction today, I think what they're telling us is that string of hawkish central bank meetings is over. And the market was surprised very much yesterday. You saw that in the reaction. And what we're seeing today is telling us in March, we won't be surprised by a similar, I think people call it pivot, by the ECB in March. And I'll be very curious to see what we hear from President Lagarde. But I would strongly advise her to be a bit more like Powell and stop guiding too strongly about intentions from here, because the ECB too has gone a long way. And as your colleague just said, the data actually come in pretty cloudy off late, even in the Eurozone.
Ibrahim, are we coming up with a narrative to fit the flows that are going on in markets right now?
So I do think the price action we've seen since the beginning of the year is very strongly flow driven. Obviously, a number of things have fallen into place fundamentally too, China reopening, a degree of disinflation. But particularly when it comes to the performance of risk assets, and particularly the riskiest of risk assets, that's really because there is so much cash on the sidelines. And there had been that underpositioning in these assets. So there is a big flow element to the price action we've seen yesterday, but really throughout this year so far.
Ibrahim, what's the dollar going to do on this? We're getting lots of research notes that market's clear. We get clarity. We move on to a lesser volatility. Does that put new legs to an ever weaker dollar?
So we do think that that string of dollar weakness has further to go. And we think that's particularly evident still in the areas of the market that benefit from lower rates and lower rates volatility. So that's carry trades, EM, areas that have seen large outflows over the last few years. Within G10 in the currency spectrum, that's probably the yen. In EM, it's the Mexican peso that tends to be most strongly related to US rates. But if you put these things together, it does tell you the dollar probably still has a little bit further to go. But I would also mention, Chair Powell used to say, be humble and nimble. We're still going to be in a very challenging environment this year. So I don't think we're going to see the dollar straight down in a straight line. I think it'll go down from here, and then we'll reevaluate over the next couple of months as that soft landing debate continues.
Ibrahim, this was great. It's just fantastic to catch up with you. And I'm sorry this was so short as we work through the ECB rate decision. Ibrahim Ratbari there of Citigroup.
Get a concise daily market update from Charles Schwab, including the latest on U.S. and global economic news, stock updates, monetary policy decisions, and key results and statistics that may impact your trading. Schwab Market Update is an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Join host Keith Lansford for this information-packed daily market recap, delivered in 10 minutes or less. Listen today at schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast or wherever you get your podcast. That's schwab.com/marketupdatepodcast.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
Bro, right now, an important conversation with Wei Li.
You live in Zuckerberg's world. Have fun. Yeah. I'll take a pass.
Wei Li with us now, Global Chief Investment Strategist at BlackRock. And she knows Lawrence Fink is going to walk back the chairman's comments yesterday. What were you thinking at 2:45 p.m. yesterday? Glued to your Bloomberg and seeing what we saw.
It was quite an incredible day. Yeah. Going into the meeting itself, we thought the focus would be around the disconnect between market pricing in terms of cash paths, future rate cuts, and what the Fed is going to say. But what we ended up having is a disconnect between Jay Powell and himself. Right? In his prepared remarks, he was very clear that they will stay the course until the drop is down. Mm-hmm. He was also very clear that parts of the market service inflation, core service inflation, they have yet to see signs of disinflation. But in the unscripted part, the press conference, he then was not clear in pushing back against the financial conditions. And he was also distancing a little bit from the December forecast, right, but without giving any clue in terms of what he thinks it could be. And that's why markets then just jump.
You have an institutional call of a shorter duration. I'm going to call it somewhat higher yield strategy. Mm-hmm. We're all conversant in equities and shorting. There seems to be a massive short bet in the bond market as well. Mm-hmm. Do you worry about a jump condition where you get a bond short cover and you get price up as a general statement and yield shockingly lower? Is that part of your probabilistic structure?
I think what we have seen so far this year is everything rally, right? So John talked about equity rally, but it has been an incredible rally in bond market as well. And part of that was driven precisely, as you said, Tom, this short covering, short squeeze, and also this fear of missing out. So think about everybody finishing 2020, deeply traumatic year across equities and bonds. And start of 2023, sentiment seems to be taking a turn and people just wants to jump in without kind of assessing how much of the damage is being priced in, which at this juncture, none of the damage is being priced in. People are talking about, is it going to be recession? Is it going to be soft landing? Markets are pricing in takeoff from here. We're not talking about landing anything. So, you know, it's a huge amount of animal spirit boosted by cash being deployed into the market. And this is the momentum that we're seeing.
If Jay Powell doesn't push back against this market, as he did not yesterday, what's going to trigger some sort of reversal in what we're seeing right now?
I think when it becomes clear that parts of the inflation complex is still persistent, is still sticky. So specifically, we're talking about core service ex shelter, right? Like, yes, goods service rotation leading to goods disinflation. That is a trend that has been many months in the making. Shelter, expecting that to come down over time as well. But service, core service ex shelter, very linked to wage dynamics as well. Labor market is still very, very tight. And I think the jury is still out there that we can be comfortable and complacent that inflation is on the way down, all the way to target.
What's your conviction level? I mean, is this the time to lean heavily against the tech rally, to basically sell everything, cash out, and just hide out in cash until you start to see that downfall?
I think this is the time to stay invested. Right now, we don't want to chase the tech rally just because of the incredible momentum that you yourself described as well. And more broadly, looking at what developed market equities are pricing, very, very positive outcome is priced for perfection. It's hard for us to chase that. But we have had a preference for emerging markets that have been doing really well on a year-to-date basis. We have had a preference for short-duration bonds and IG credit and mortgage agency backed mortgages, and all of that have been holding up okay as well. We're talking about an everything rally. So staying invested is important.
Wait, just to finish on the Federal Reserve, if we can. We talked a long time about the end of the Fed put, the introduction of a Fed call. Did that get done away with yesterday in that news conference?
Well, he was not very consistent within himself. So I think markets are reading into it what it wants to read into it, which is to jump and kind of build momentum and chase this rally. So I think it's too early to say, do we have a Fed put turning into a Fed call, turning back into a Fed put? We don't have a very consistent Fed at this moment.
We'll hear from Chairman Powell next week. let's not go there. Wait, can I just say thank you?
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tolerating
us. Yes, we're going to, from now on, after every Fed meeting, Whaley.
She's like, absolutely not.
I love that.
Bring Larry Fink next time. I have thought for days that there's only one person I want to talk to in the tech season. And all I can say, I'm looking it up right now, the copyright, he was like 18 years old when he wrote this.
Yep.
But, you know, the copyright's back 12 years. And what book can you say, Paul, about technology with a copyright of 2010 that is still worth reading today?
Absolutely.
If you want to understand Zuckerberg, you start with David Kirkpatrick and his The Facebook Effect. I can't say enough about the book at the time. I gave it as much acclaim as I could. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. I got to be on your show more often.
You got to be on my show.
David. My God, I love that. So nice of you.
You went in the book. I remember this. He's backing out of a parking lot or something, and he's just had his world turned upside down by the success of all this. You were with me the day they went public. You absolutely nailed the debacle and the recovery. What was the come to Jesus of Mr. Zuckerberg yesterday? What does the new Zuck look like?
Well, I think it's taken a few quarters for him to come to Jesus, so to speak. He finally, the way I'm looking at it, is he's finally decided to be a business person and no longer a starry-eyed visionary, which he was able to sustain for pretty much a decade of a period when the stock and the results and the user growth
right.
just kind of kept magically rising, and he could do whatever he wanted. And he can't do whatever he wants anymore, although he's still got this weird obsession with the metaverse. But I really think right. it's a stunning turnaround that he's trying to be a real manager again, for the first time ever, really.
In your new book, it's like 700 pages, folks. I'll give you the punchline. Chapter 42, Kirkpatrick on the metaverse. Help me, David. What's the metaverse?
Well, if I really knew, I might be more excited about it. The metaverse, as Facebook and Meta portrays it, their newly renamed company in homage to this.
Excuse me, the Meta effect doesn't work, yeah. Paul.
No. Well, you know, it's a legless, cartoony, game-like space that most people wouldn't want to enter. And in fact, it takes tremendously inconvenient hardware to access and money and an extraction from the real world rather than an engagement with it, which I don't like, and just that alone I don't like. So I think it is crazy and strange, weird, inexplicable, whatever word you want to use, why he was so, and still is, so obsessed with this that he had to rename his company and that he's willing to spend $4 billion plus per quarter in losses in order to build out this chimerical vision. It is never in the near term going to be a great business for billions of people, period, end of story. And I don't know where he's going with that.
David, who is the voice of reason within the senior ranks of Facebook these days? We used to think it was Sheryl Sandberg. She is now departed. Talk to us about who surrounds Mr. Zuckerberg.
Well, I always had tremendous respect for Chris Cox, who left in protest at one point and was lured back and is now head of product and really a very smart, very visionary, very thoughtful, balanced human being and quite close to Zuckerberg. So he would be my top choice. Actually, Mike Schreffer, who was the chief technology officer for over a decade and was on stage with me at the Techonomy conference in November. And he was actually, he still works there 2 days a week as a fellow. And he was saying, you know, we haven't explained this metaverse thing very well. And there's some brilliant people surrounding Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
But Zuckerberg has a tendency not to care what other people think. He is so confident in his own judgment. He will just go that way no matter what.
David, the time we got left, broader question, and this goes to Techonomy and all that you're doing with your leadership of thinking about our American Silicon Valley. Paul, I don't know if you knew this. You know the ubiquitous shoes with the stupid white soles?
Yep.
Kirkpatrick was the first one to wear those. That was a long time ago.
They're the rage.
David, you go into some overpriced latte stop, $15 for a coffee of hand-picked organic beans from Saskatchewan, whatever. You go into one of those pretentious shops. How has the mood changed in your Silicon Valley?
Oh, Silicon Valley is fundamentally changed. I think forever changed. I feel that the era in which a small number of giant internet companies led global markets upward has ended decisively. We are looking for a new economic phase that cannot and will not be led by those same companies. So that is a real disappointing turn of events for a lot of these true believers. Look, I'm very excited about climate tech myself, and I think there's huge necessity for it, great investment in climate and a lot of economic opportunity in doing so. So I'm hoping that's the next phase. We are not going to see another era where companies like Meta go to 380 and people expect it to keep going up. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Tim Cook, Apple this afternoon. Yep. Maybe it's not the Kirkpatrick expertise, but David Kirkpatrick, Tim Cook, is he the CEO of the pandemic for Silicon Valley?
Well, I think him and Satya Nadella both are extraordinary leaders who have been shining in recent times. And Apple has the benefit of not being an advertising-based business. And that really has insulated it. And the fact that it's led by a supply chain genius, which is what Cook is.
Right.
So I still am optimistic about Apple long-term, very much.
What's your first event with your climate tech? Sell us forward on David Kirkpatrick and climate.
Well, I'm actually trying to come up with a book idea that's an optimistic take on how climate can really save the economy. Climate action can turn the economy into something truly marvelous. I really believe that, and I don't think that's understood.
Look forward to hearing that. Of course, that dovetails with what we're doing at Bloomberg Green. Sure, David Kirkpatrick, The Facebook Effect. Where else can I say, Paul, a book 12 years old is still worth
reading? Still relevant. I remember when he published it, he was on our set on talking about it. And it was people were really trying to get a handle on who is this Mark Zuckerberg? What is this Facebook thing? What is social media? Isn't social media picking up the phone and calling a buddy? So that was where we were back in the day.
Subscribe to the Bloomberg Surveillance Podcast on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Listen live every weekday starting at 7 a.m. Eastern on Bloomberg.com, the iHeartRadio app, TuneIn, and the Bloomberg Business app. You can watch us live on Bloomberg Television and always on the Bloomberg Terminal. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Keene, and this is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.